Hello, nurse. Wait, this is Total Spot Fest, but we got a kick-ass show for you. We got holy freaking dynamite, Batman. We also have NXT's go-home show before TakeOver 36. This is Total Spot Fest. One, two, three, four.
And welcome to, or welcome back to, Total Spot Fest. I am JJ Brownlee. He is Jamie Faulkner. We are here to talk about AEW. Last night was dynamite in the build-up for All Out. So we're going to get all into it. A lot of good stuff from last night. A lot of interesting things, too, I'll say.
100%. A lot of foundational pieces were set, and I think a possible swerve is coming at us. I'm holding true on my Mark Stradamus.
We'll get into it because there's definitely some branches of prediction I think that can stem from the past week, especially with last night too. So we're gonna get into it. We'll talk real quick about Impact, about some developing romantic news that has transpired through Impact, or not Impact, NXT. I've been saying Impact like all in preparation. I keep calling each show Impact. It's a great show, and I'm excited to see Emergence this Friday, you know, after I watch Rampage. But it's just like, I can't. NXT. I meant to say NXT.
NXT.
Jesus, JJ, get your shit together. So
it's the next thing that Vince McMahon's going to destroy NXT.
It's on the chopping block. But before we get to that, thank you guys. We do appreciate it. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. If you're watching us on YouTube, as always, drop a comment down below if you want to join the conversation. While you're down there, feel free to just smash on that old thumbs up like button. You can also clobber the subscribe button if you so desire. If you're listening to us on your favorite podcast provider, just give us a shout on Twitter at Total Spot Fest to join the conversation. Quick little housekeeping note, we amazingly still have our two extra tickets to Journey Pro's Weekend at Journey show coming up on the 28th.
Which is amazing because that show is stacked.
I'm
ridiculous.
Stupefied. I think Walter hit the nail on the head. If you haven't heard our last episode, which was a long one, I know.
Will not be that long, I'm sorry. I promise.
But we had a full interview with Walter along with a full show. So it was a long one. But we did an interview with Walter from Journey Pro, and he said that it's kind of tough to like build excitement for a show that you've already sold out. It's like, here's some more stuff about matches, you know? It's like, what do you do now? Yeah. So I think that honest to God, James, I think that might have something to play with it. So if we don't hear anything from over this upcoming weekend, we're probably going to get in touch with Walter and DJ and get them returned so they can push them out. Maybe they might have a better chance selling them or giving away to a corporate partner or God knows what else. So I know that they're doing a vaccine drive at the show as well. So if you're coming, you haven't been vaccinated, do that. Don't be an idiot. Get vaccinated. And maybe even, you know, I'm just spitballing here. If you're listening, Walter, DJ, maybe do a giveaway. You haven't been able to get tickets. Come on by, get vaccinated. Maybe get entered in a little raffle to get tickets to the show. That'd be cool.
That would be cool because everybody, I know there's some anti-vaxxers out there, but get vaccinated. I'm just going to say it now. I had a near and dear friend lose her son who was under the age of 30 to COVID just last week. Like, get vaccinated, people. Like, it's not worth it. That's all I got to say.
This is not a political thing. This is a science thing. Anybody trying to make it political, fuck you, first of all.
Yeah. I think we've proven multiple times that we're not political on here.
We stray away from any politics. And that's why we're talking about getting vaccinated, because it's not a political goddamn issue. So
maybe we can do something with Jeremy Wyatt. And, you know, maybe if they have so many people come out and vaccinate, he'll actually do a line tamer match.
Have you tweeted at Lone Star yet to do a lion tamer?
No, no, I'm holding off until the week of the show to really build it up, because I just tweeted at Jeremy Wyatt today because he's like, you know, 33 and counting. I'm like, well, we want him to get 34 as long as he does a damn line taper. Just waiting for his response. I'm assuming it's going to be no.
It's going to be just, but all he's done is a simple one-word reply to Jamie every time. No, which no. is perfect. I love it this.
It is. It is. It's everything I want with it. Yes. It's all right, so storytelling, ladies.
This is a total spot fest version of long term storytelling. So, we'll get into it. Much like Ric Flair gets into his train rides momentarily here. So,
so we're gonna roll up a unknown woman into a small package.
I mean, we were talking about this earlier today, and the part that gets me, first of all, if that is Ric Flair, which it sure as shit looks like it, right? It kind of, you know, looking at the hand of the woman, looking, trying to see if there's any, there's a little tattoo I can't quite make out on her leg, right? You know, whatever. But he got remarried a couple years back. I don't know which number wife this is, but she's like in her 50s, I think, or so, something like that,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Which is definitely younger than Ric Flair, but
oh yeah,
no spring chicken. So so this isn't some like 18 or 20, you know, 1 year old that he's rolled over. But the part that gets me, the part that I said that I don't, was it's Ric Flair, and this is a train. I don't see Ric Flair taking public transportation.
You know, maybe he's no longer the limousine ride. Maybe he's just the locomotive ride.
I don't know. Funny thing is, there are probably pictures involving Ric Flair in a train that exist out there. They're about 35 years old, and they're So I'm just saying. Let's move on before we delve further into the depths of whateverness. So we're going to talk about Dynamite from last night shortly. Okay, that is our bread and butter. That's why everybody's here. In the meantime, we do want to make a little note about NXT, because it did happen this past Tuesday. In case you were wondering, this was the go-home show for TakeOver that's happening this Sunday. So NXT, I think I'm mixing up here. So yeah, the NXT show was this past Tuesday. I think I said NXT TakeOver was this past Tuesday. Not right.
I mean,
it's the go-home for TakeOver. I don't know why I'm scatterbrained today. I'm just going to say the wrong thing all night. So, their go-home show, numbers came out today, or yesterday, and they drew 654,000. That is down 13%, nearly 100,000 from the week before.
100,000. They basically almost lost Impact.
More or less. Maybe that's why I got Impact on the mind. I don't know. I honestly don't know. I can't fathom why that is. It's like, okay, sure. I mean, we know the whole thing with USA, right? While they were off USA, they were on Sci-Fi, so the numbers were, okay, we get that. Olympics, sure, right? But then they bounced back, and they actually went a little bit above what they were averaging before. And now they're back. This is the same numbers they had back in July. They're in the sixes, so
I think what happened was last week's show, not this week's, but last week's was a turd, and 750,000 people watched it, and it was just not a good show,
right?
And they're like, oh, Vince has already got his hands in it.
Vince has already messed it up.
I don't want to do this anymore. Yep. That's what I think.
My prediction still is like this whole like change is going to happen after TakeOver. I did read an article earlier today, speaking of NXT, that said that the USA Network is not happy with, A, the direction that it's rumored they're going to be going with NXT, B, they are very not unhappy with the cuts, and C, they are flat out fucking pissed off for a recorded show. A network contact, unnamed network contact, was speaking to, I think it was Brian Alvarez or someone at Fightful Select. I don't remember who it was exactly. It was a pretty reputable dirt sheet, though. Yeah. But an unnamed network contact said, we didn't pay the money we paid for a freaking fucking pre-taped show. I think is what the quote was. We paid for a live show. So Here's my question to you before we talk about this. Do you think that all this, because we mentioned last time about the infighting backstage between those that don't want Triple H to take over after Vince goes away, and they're, so they've been getting in Vince's ear and kind of turning him, right? Do you think this is kind of the plan to basically, you know, cut off your nose to spite your face sort of bit? It's like, we don't want Triple H to take over, so let's just kill his brand. Let's do whatever we can to get Vince to kill his brand.
Yeah, I think that's 100% accurate, because Bruce Pritchard, as we all know, is a ginormous piece of shit.
Kevin Dunn, yes.
Is an even bigger piece of shit. So you have two big pieces of shit who all they want to do is a power grab.
Yep.
For some odd reason, they have Vince's ear, because they're both stuck in 1996 to 2003, the Attitude Era, thinking that that's how you make people this day and age. Yes, we love that era for those who lived through it. I love it. But that's not what I want nowadays.
Yeah,
I want maybe some throwbacks there, but I like the new flippy spinny shit a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily need the super cutting edge, like chicks and, you know, chicks in thongs.
I was going to say chicks and thongs wrestling. Doing like mud wrestling and jello wrestling. You know, we want to see actual wrestling.
I want to see women actually wrestle. Like, we've grown leaps and bounds, and they still freaking racially profile everybody, because that's what you do in wrestling, which is completely inaccurate. Because I mean, look at like Rohit Raju and some of these other guys. Yes, they call out to their heritage, but that's not who they are. You know, like, oh, he's an Indian wrestler, so he's got to come out to Bollywood music. It's like, no, not even close. Like, they're the most out of touch people have Vince's ears, and he's going to kill a brand that was honestly a really good product. It had great people that, yes, might have been over 30 and under 6 foot, which being the Elite totally made fun of that, by the way. But it's just one of those things, like, it just boggles my mind, like, how much are you willing to destroy your brand just for the sake of it being your brand? And all these damn WWE diehards on Twitter, like, this is the best thing ever. It's like, you are out of your goddamn mind. Like, you've lost so much great talent, and you've buried the rest. Like, it doesn't make sense.
I mean, I don't know. And the thing is, like, there's a shit ton of wrestling out there right now, and a lot of good wrestling. A lot of wrestling is getting news. I mean, AEW is making headlines. AEW is being referenced on NFL shows, on SportsCenter, on Entertainment Tonight, for God's sake. And, you know, so it's like, and what CM Punk gets in there, then you get Daniel Bryan, you get this, you know, that gives you that extra oomph over the edge, and I don't see it stopping anytime soon. New Japan put on a ridiculously good, you know, pay-per-view over the weekend, right? It was so enjoyable, so fun. Everybody was enthralled with it. Impact doesn't have the numbers, but as we've said, a better TV contract would give them that, because their product is pretty good. Local wrestling's been doing great. Our local one, Journey Pro, as everybody knows, you know, they sold out the last two shows, first two shows back. So there's a lot of wrestling out there. And then there's WWE, who doesn't view themselves as a wrestling company, but they're in that sphere. And that's the part that really irks me, you know, is that you have all these great wrestlers who, if they did go somewhere else, like Aleister Black, now Malachi Black, right? Or Tommy End, as he's known in the independent scene, you know? You know, other ones like that, you know, but you've stockpiled so many of them that even with all these cuts to get rid of people, which included Ruby Soho, it still is just an embarrassment of what their talents could be. Keith Lee is relegated now that he's finally back healthy, and he explained what was going on, and it was definitely a legit health scare, you know, sort of thing going on, which is why he was out on the shelf for so long. So, you know, thoughts and prayers go to him. You know, he seems to be doing much better. But they've been wrestling him on dark matches, and here's the reason why. You would think it's like, well, he's been out for a while, he's rusty, we want to warm him up, right? No, they're giving him a lot of different things, even squash matches, because they're trying to figure out what to do with him. We know what to do with them. Look at what Triple H did with him. Look how fucking over he was. The whole NXT invasion angle. He goes up against Roman Reigns in like the finals of the elimination of the Survivor Series match, right? Mm-hmm. He didn't win, but he was so over. He was, I mean, it was, you don't, the it's there. You don't need to fucking, whatever. It just
baffles my mind. You have a freak of nature who's amazing athletic for as big as he is, and his ring presence, he's got great charisma, he's got all these pieces, and you don't know what to do with him. Like, yeah. It's easy. Have him fucking wrestle on TV and have him be over because the crowd loves him. Give him his old music back and just have him pick on somebody saying, you're going to bask in my glory and it's over. And then you got a feud. Simple as that. Like, my God.
I mean, Dijakovic, I loved Dijo in NXT and him and Keith Lee going at each other. And then he gets moved up part of whatever the shit that, you know,
Retribution.
Whatever. And when that blew up, I'll go, well, maybe we'll get old Dijo back. Nope, they're keeping that character, and he's just him and it's stupid.
Him and Slapjack.
T-Bar, Mace, no, I don't know who the fuck it is.
T-Bar? Yeah.
Oh, God. It's just like, come on. This guy is so talented, and you can see it when he's out there. It's just like, that's a waste. That's a waste. Don't get a star on the women's side of things. Mia Yim, where the fuck has she been?
Still in catering.
And maybe she was off all that time because she's taking care of her fiance. Maybe. I don't know. I don't want to speculate. But that would make sense why she had an extended period, right? Mm-hmm. She still hasn't debuted. Since they broke up Retribution and she moved to SmackDown, we haven't seen her at all. I mean, it's just some of these things are just, and that's, those are the people they kept. Everybody else they got rid of, you know, that is just mind boggling. But I tend to agree. I think they're trying to kill it as a way to damage the chances of Triple H taking over. So,
yeah.
Ugh. Well, that was a tangent that we got on there. Some of those are the numbers anyway. For down 100,000 people. The show was okay. It was for as far as go home shows. I mean, it wasn't that. It was okay. Kushida wasn't medically cleared. I don't know what that means necessarily.
Yeah, so he's got something going on, and I guess his match for Takeover is in jeopardy.
He doesn't have a match for Takeover.
I thought he was going to be an opener.
Maybe that was it, because he was supposed to defend the Cruiserweight title against Roddy Strong, and that got, you know, canceled.
The sole member of the Diamond Mine.
Well, they still got the Japanese guy who's the trainer or whatever.
Yeah,
he's still there, but he's not a wrestler. He's confirmed as the sole wrestler in Diamond Mine, which just. Throw that out the window, if you know, because Malcolm Bivens is great being a mouthpiece. I like Malcolm Bivens as a mouthpiece in general.
Same,
right?
Same.
I like Roddy Strong as a wrestler, and the two of them together, that works, right?
So yeah,
that's basically take the dynamic of what they're trying to do with Tyler Rust and Malcolm Bivens, and just Tyler Rust is now gone, so just, you know, replace him with Roddy Strong, and that's good, but. Whatever. He pulls an open challenge, and it's answered by Ilya Dragunov, which this match was actually legitimately good. Dragunov got busted open, and he just didn't give a shit. He had like 8 stitches above his eye, right? And just kept fighting, blood everywhere. It was great. It was actually a pretty good opener to the night. Ilya ended up getting the win, of course, going into TakeOver, right? And then you get Hit Row and Legado del Fantasma do a little back outside Hit Row comes out. And Hit Row's one. We talked about this, you know, kind of their racial and cultural appropriation tactics towards some talent. what's the dude with the 24/7 championship? The Japanese
Reginald?
Guy. No.
Takazawa.
Yeah. I mean. How he doesn't like storm out of there fuming mad. I mean, he is. You talk about cultural appropriation. I mean, just oh my God. But as far as all that goes, Hit Row and Legado are both actually cultural appreciation done correctly. Yes. Everybody in Hit Row actually does rap. I don't know if Ashante does now that I think about it, but
she does.
I know that the other. Like Swerve actually does rap and do stuff. The other two, Top Dollar and the girl, they actually have albums, you know. So it's a legitimate thing. And the whole like Mexican like legacy thing. It's finally come to where it, like, I didn't like it for the longest time because I didn't get it, you know. It was didn't make a lot of sense, and they finally packaged it and got to the right point. So I actually generally like both of them, even though Hipbo has the logo that drives me insane. I'm sorry, I can't get over it. But
and where did they get into it at?
Well, so they started off, the Hit Row is in the ring, and then they get called out because, you know, Santos is outside. He's apologized because he's like, I know this disrespected your culture. Come out man to man. I'm all alone. So it was outside in the parking lot, which led to them getting jumped. And then Hitbo came outside, and everybody started brawling in the parking lot because it's an NXT show. That's like ring number two, right? The parking lot.
The parking lot of NXT is the second most dangerous thing in all of WWE-dom. The number one is a phone call from John Laurinaitis. That's it. Like, I swear, it's just like, it's that and Laurinaitis, old Johnny Ace.
Right. I mean, I would give me an Uber on like a moped, and like, take me up to the door. Take me straight to the door. I'm good. All right, man.
Yeah. Like, everybody knows, like, don't go out the back.
Don't go out the back.
Shit's going to get real.
Yeah, yeah. Here's the ring, and there's a door right here on the side that goes directly to the parking lot. Don't go out there. Don't go out there.
We'll take the side exit. We'll go out the side.
They always get I'd go through the office, go through the front freaking door is what I'd do.
I go out the peeps. I'm like, hey, I'm going to sign some autographs. I'll come out with you.
I'd be like, I know. Pick me up out front, not in the parking lot. So they're setting that up, I think, for next week. So post-takeover, they're going to have a six-man tag, finally. Good God.
That'd be a good one.
Which is, I mean, this is, as I said, I'm fine with all this, but they've been taking their time getting to the point, right? So point happens in a week. Then you had Cameron Grimes versus Josh Briggs. Josh Briggs is one of the guys from the Breakout Tournament.
Breakout.
Yeah, whatever it's
Breakout
called.
Tournament.
Yeah, he's a bigger guy, you know, and he's got a good look to him. And, you know, he's over 6 foot and he's under 38 years old. So Vince probably loves him. This is a legitimately fun match. So LA Knight came out with Grimes, of course, right? And DiBiase was already at ringside, the commentary table. And LA Knight sits down next to him. And the two of them are kind of squabbling to start whatever. And he said, so DiBiase goes, how much you pay this kid to come out here and wrestle, you know? Because they understand each other, right? Because they're both rich. And it's chump change, $10,000. That's all it took to get him out here. And he goes, well, I'll tell you what, double or nothing, my guy wins. I bet you, you know, double or nothing, Cameron Grimes. And he goes, 20 grand, do you want double on this? I'm in. So they make a side. They get a little action, side action going. 20 grand for the match, right? Grimes ends up winning, of course. You know,
of course.
And then there's DiBiase stands up and like, I just easiest $20,000 I ever made. Blah blah blah. Gets a punch in the face from LA Knight, and then LA Knight beats up Cameron Grimes and walks out. Right. So put a pin in that. We'll come back in a brief second because next we have Index Things and. Okay, so last week had all the vignette of them in the restaurant, right? That's all it was for them last week. This week there's a match. So before the match, they're backstage, and there's Candace and Johnny and Indy's there. They have a Missing Again poster behind them with Austin Theory, by the way. Who, in case you're wondering, Theory's been working main event and doing dark matches. He's probably going to go to the main roster soon.
Yep. Before you move on, I will like to send out an official congratulations. Baby Wrestling is on the way.
That's right, Kate Baby Wrestling.
Ray is Prego. Congratulations to both of them. So Baby Wrestling
will be here Sunday
soon.
That's really cool. So so she's definitely going to move more into a non-combatant role for the short term, but she still plans on being there, working, doing stuff. With this whole like Index and the family angle, it actually works really well in all that.
Oh, yeah.
Indy is clueless, so you can never not even understand why. It's like, why do you keep eating all this cake and you're putting on pounds? We're a tag team. And it's like, I'm pregnant. Oh, what? We'll hit the gym tomorrow. You know, like I could definitely see them doing stuff like that. So anyway, So they're backstage, and you know, Johnny is just like, oh, this guy, I don't get this guy, you know. And she's like, we've been doing a lot of things, we've been going on dates, we've been doing this, and everything she says, Johnny responds with yuck. Oh, we did walking the beach, yuck. We went bike riding, yuck. We did this, yuck. We went, you know, balloon riding. And he's actually a pretty baller move, you know. That's actually a
typical Gargano.
Love Gargano. And she's putting on these gloves, right? You know, it's like, what's with the gloves? And then, of course, here comes Dexter. He's like, how long are you been standing there, weirdo? And so Johnny then goes, this is great. Johnny then goes, hey, weirdo, how was that cake last week? Because, you know, as he, when he was the waiter, he, the cake got dropped into Dexter's face, right? And then Indy, like, licked it off and everything. And Indy responds with, oh, he loved it. He even had room for pie. To which Johnny, they walk out. Johnny and Candace both go, well, I looked over that menu. There's no pie on that menu.
Perfect. Yes,
she made that joke. It was great. It was kudos, Indy. Kudos.
Perfect.
Then they had a mixed tag match against Robert Stone. Yes, that Robert Stone and Jesse Kamei with Frankie Monet at ringside, right? And this is more of a comedy match more than anything, especially because Robert Stone was in there because he's so terrible. But in a good way. He just got the shit kicked out of him. So they win. And there's several times during the match, Indy kept like checking on with Beth because Beth Phoenix has been fully invested in being an index shipper from day one, right? Well,
day one. She's down since day one.
She's been down since day one, right? So after the match, they in the ring briefly, and then Indy just says, you know, excuse me. She rolls out of the ring. I think she's going to go check, you know, she's going to go consult her girlfriend right over there on commentary before smooching her man or something, right? So she goes over, and she gets slipped something from Beth Phoenix. And she goes back in the ring, and Indy gets down on her knee and proposes to Dexter Lumis. Yes, that happened. With a ring that has an eyeball instead of a diamond.
It's perfect. It's so perfect.
And he said yes. He nodded yes. I don't know. But there's a NXT wedding. I think it's the first wedding in NXT. Yeah, because we know nothing can go wrong in a wrestling wedding, right?
No, they without a hitch every single time.
Oh, my God. So, yeah, this was by far the highlight of the show. Yeah, Carmelo Hayes, he beat Duke Hudson for the other semifinal, so he's going to go off against that the beast of a man, you know, whoever that guy, 6'8", 400, and whatever pounds.
Yeah, he's going to win. It's fine.
Yeah. I think so, but Carmelo Hayes looked impressive. Then he had a JC Jane promo for her and Gigi Dolan. So last week, Gigi Dolan had a promo. Now she has a promo. We're talking about us and us. And I'm like, okay, so they're really trying to sell us on this whole tag team for the two of them. I get it. I kind of would rather have Gigi Dolan by herself and maybe have this girl by herself. But you got to have tag teams if you have a tag team championship, right? So,
yeah, okay. It's a good way to introduce them first. And then, of course, they'll split and feud with each other and, you know, the typical WWE way.
Eventually, they'll do some stuff, right? It is what it is. But I'm just glad they're getting a push. So that's good for them.
Yeah.
Then you had MSK versus Imperium. This was a very entertaining match for the tag team championships. Walter came out and was trying to, and he basically, they're sowing the seeds for an Imperium breakup too, which fucking stupid. But you know, he's basically, you know, doing the pep talk earlier in the show. He was saying about how he wanted them to, you know, achieve more and all this, whatever, you know. So they've been tag team champions once since they've been over here, but whatever. Match was entertaining. MSK was great, right? It ends up, you know, Walter comes out and he tries to get involved, and Ilya comes out. And he distracts Walter, and it leads to Imperium getting kind of, you know, discombobulated. MSK eventually does pull their finisher and gets the win, right? Mm-hmm. So you had that, and then, you know, Walter beat up Ilya a little bit more. That match, I'm still excited to see. I think that's going to be the best. I don't know. TakeOver's got some matches that I'm legitimately like, that's going to be a good match. I mean, the whole Cole and O'Reilly thing. It's literally the exact same thing that was done with Gargano. But it should be good.
It should be.
They end the whole night with, oh, and by the way, so there was a, there was a little promo done backstage where, you know, DiBiase is trying to talking to Grimes, and he's like, I don't know, maybe got a little too over our head, kid, and you know, and that fires up Grimes, and you know, he's like, oh, we're gonna, you know, he gets him going, he rips his shirt off, and it's back to the old Cameron Grimes here again, which leaves DiBiase stand up and like just doing his evil cackle, so his pep talk, his pep talk. Worked in the roundabout ways. You end the night with Karrion Kross and Samoa Joe breaking all the barriers around the ring, and that was your show. So,
all right. Well,
yep, that was it. Exciting. We'll see what happens on TakeOver. We'll have the biggest thing, like I said, this weekend we'll have picks for SummerSlam and picks for TakeOver. We'll go over our picks and results next week, but. I probably have been less excited for this takeover than any other takeover in several years.
Yeah. Because the card is small. It's only got 5 announced matches. Well, technically 7.
Well, we're not. No. It's 5.
It's 5. Because, I mean, you got Walter versus Dragunov 2.
Yes. Give me that. Yes.
Karrion Kross versus Samoa Joe. We already know what's going to happen there. Like, yeah. If anybody doesn't know what's going on there, you are.
WWE has killed that match. I would have been excited for that match a month ago. Not now.
Yeah. Raquel Gonzalez versus Dakota Kai, which.
I'm interested to see what happens.
Well, have a feeling what's going to happen if they do the right thing.
Yeah, I know.
LA Knight versus Cameron Grimes again. I think we know where that's going to go. And then Kyle O'Reilly versus Adam Cole in the 2 out of 3 falls match. Those are the only advertised matches so far.
That's all there is. That's all it's going to be. So it's not. They're making a concerted effort to keep NXT TakeOvers around 2 hours anyway, from what I've read.
Yeah, but I mean, the tag team championships for either side aren't going up. Like, on TakeOver?
Well, the women's tag team championships haven't even been seen other than in like either backstage interviews or promos, you know, like. You know, Zoe Stark trying to be friends with, you know, Io Shirai promos since they won them. I don't know if there's an injury or what, but not even there. And this show had one women's match. It had one women's match, and that was actually a mixed tag match.
Yeah, it wasn't even.
It's not the norm. I mean, this is already off the normal, like, NXT blueprint. So.
Already. It's going to get worse, ladies and gentlemen. Parker Bordeaux's going to come in, and he's going to kill everybody.
Oh, yeah, because this guy went out and bought himself an entry-level Mercedes and thinks he's a boss. Did you see that?
I'm in my 20s. I bought my first Mercedes. I'm amazing.
It's like, you buy a GLA. My Kia actually costs more than that. Kiss my ass.
Yeah. Whatever.
All right. Let's talk about AEW. So that was NXT. Whatever. We'll get to it later. AEW, though. Dynamite. Because this was some interesting but good stuff.
Dynamite planted a lot of seeds tonight. A lot of seeds all over the place. So it starts off not with a promo, but again with a match. So they're back to their usual, which I really appreciated.
Well, it was going to start with a promo that led to a match. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, because Jon Moxley was coming out with his best friend, Eddie Kingston, to Wild Thing through the crowd, and he straight up got Nancy Kerrigan by 2.0 with Daniel Garcia. If you don't know what Nancy Kerrigan is, that means, one, you're too young. And then, two, he got hit in the back of the knee with some kind of metal object. So Kerrigan.
It was a good nod.
The only thing that would have made it better if you have been like sitting there going, oh, my.
Why?
Yeah. That would have made it. But anyway. Sorry, but not sorry. So then here come out 2.0, like they do all that stuff and they go out to the middle of the ring and they call out Sting and Darby. Let's go now, basically. Yeah. And lights hit and then Sting's music comes out. First time you're seeing Sting on TNT in 20 years, ladies and gentlemen. And the last time TNT had anything, that was Thunder. It wasn't. Nitro. That was on TBS at that time because they switched. Remember, they did the
switch. Yeah, they flip-flop. Yeah.
Yeah. So last time he's been on there since in 20 years. So 2001.
Crazy.
Like, crazy. Damn. So that happens. Then they start doing Darby Allin stuff. Lights hit. He pops up. Oh, he's in the ring behind him with his skateboard, and he hits one of them with his skateboard. then they start fighting all over the damn arena. Like, they
tornado,
were just
it's
going
a tornado
nuts.
Tag match, so there's no disqualification.
No DQ, no nothing. And my God, I have to give 2.0 Ooh. some props because they got some serious heat from that crowd, and it was awesome. They did great. The entire match was really damn good, actually. There is a spot where somehow Darby Allin got onto like the concrete concourse, like, you know, the edge of it.
The tunnel.
Ran
the
down
tunnel.
It. Yeah, the tunnel. And then just jumped off of it onto 2.0. Mm-hmm. Eddie Kingston comes out of nowhere, grabs Daniel Garcia, so it makes it an official, you know, 2-on-2 tornado. But there's tons of fighting. The ending was really cool.
Ending was awesome.
So Sting was going for a 10 punch. He got stopped at 4. Sting gets power bombed through a table. Okay.
Double power bombed.
Yeah. It's a double power bomb. He no sells the shit out of it. Old school.
Hits straight back up.
Chest. It's awesome. Up, like, it was old school Sting. Place went ape shit for it. He gets up. Then he throws him. He's messing with him. Darby comes out. They come into Sting. Sting does a double double scorpion death drop. Then he stacks him. This Sting awesome. Does, and then he does a double scorpion death lock
to get
for
a
the
double
tap out for the win. Your winners. Sting and Darby Allin.
I thought for a second they're just gonna stack him and then they're gonna do a death drop. And like, no, he's gonna start to do a and then he'll do the nope. He just like Darby was on the top of the rope, just kind of perched there, just watching. And Sting just
yeah,
went
I was
down.
Like, is he gonna do a coffin drop onto him? Like
that's what I thought. That's what
it?
I thought.
Yeah, that'd been cool.
No,
whatever. So that happened. Great match. Hell of a way to start off a show. Right after that, they go into Sammy Guevara's big announcement. And this was actually done on Dark about 30 minutes before the show actually happened. And it's really damn cool. So Sammy called up his girlfriend, longtime girlfriend for 8 years. And he proposed to her in the middle of the ring. He's right. Like, you know, you've been with me through ups and downs and everything. And I want to make sure you're always with me forever. And it was really sweet. She said yes. Awesome. They're engaged. Sammy Guevara and his girlfriend, Pam. Are engaged, so congratulations to them. Well deserved.
Yeah, Pam, the former BTE, or I should say, Sammy Guerra vlog champion.
Yes,
one time.
Yes, she was a vlog champion.
She had a short reign, but it was still memorable.
Yes, it was. It was great. All right, so right after that, you got into the Sammy Guevara Sean Spears match.
Ooh, this match
was a banger right this off match. The bat. So Sammy Guevara comes out and. He gets attacked from behind too. So literally 2.0 did the same like to Kingston and Moxley. Well, Sean Spears does it to Sammy Guevara. So they start doing stuff. And then out of nowhere, freaking Sean Spears gets down on the apron and hears Sammy Guevara because they're able to separate. And he does his jumping dive from the ramp because the ramp was
the ramp goes straight to the ring, right?
Yeah. He does his little flip right onto him. It looked amazing just to start off. That's just the start.
The bell hasn't rung yet.
Yeah, the bell hasn't even damn rung at this point. So I could get into all the moves.
Yeah, we're not going to recap every little bit about the match.
So Tully gets tossed out for throwing his sweater at Ref Aubrey.
Aubrey was so animated. She got her own chant in the middle of this match. She was great.
She's a treasure. She is a treasure. And she
love me some sense. Aubrey Edwards, most definitely.
So right after that, you know, Guevara and them are going at it. Spears hits a nasty avalanche C4 off of the second rope on Sammy. Sammy is able to kick out of it some way. They end up working their way onto the apron of the ring, which, by the way, is the hardest part of the ring, if you didn't know that.
It is. Really? I thought it was the softest part of the ring.
You know, earlier in the match, so Sean Spears set up the old school
The barriers. It's a bike rack is what they are. They use them as barriers.
Yeah, the bike rack. He set it up basically from the barricade on this side and the ring. So it's just hanging out right there.
Right.
And Sean Spears was going to go for another DVD. And Sammy's able to kick out of it. He hits him a couple times. He tries to go for a super kick. And Sean's like, no. He throws his foot down instantly right into another super kick. Sammy's able to get him on his shoulders. He does a DVD onto the ring barrier, which was sick.
And it looked great.
It looked amazing. It bent it in half. so he rolls Sean in there. He hits a 6-3-0 off of the top, which, of course, you know, he got the crowd hyped for it. God. 1-2, kick out by Sean Spears. I'm like, what the hell? So Sammy can't believe it. He's just lost his mind with it. He drops down his knee pad and hits some of the nastiest knee strikes to Sean Spears' face. So nasty, I say, he forced Sean Spears to bleed fucking everywhere. Wow. Like, it was just like ketchup.
Knee, big knee. Go to sleep, knee. Just knees all over the place.
And then he gets him up, and then he puts him up, basically rack attack style, flips him over, hits his GTH, 1-2-3. Your winner is Sammy Guevara.
Right. And this was my match of the night. I love this.
Same.
By far.
There's a match after it that may contend with it because it was pretty damn amazing. So
to me, this was my match of the night. And you even had JR giving the whole, like, nods to Eddie Guevara. He compares Sammy Guevara to Eddie Guerrero quite a bit.
And it makes sense because you see a lot of it.
Right.
I do see young WCW Eddie Guerrero. See that in Sammy.
Yeah, now Sammy's not Mexican, though. So there is that.
He is Texan, though.
He's a Texan with a Spanish heritage.
The Spanish god. He is the Spanish god.
Anyway, Sammy, this is great all around. The whole story was fantastic. Love every second.
Yes. All right, so after this, Tony Schiavone is with Christian Cage. They get interrupted by Don Callis. Don Callis cuts a great heel promo, as he always does. Talk about how he put him over for the first time on TV in Winnipeg, which, yeah, I thought that was a good thing. Christian starts to cut him off. Don's just going his nuts, and then he knows that he's in Kenny's head, and he calls him a carny piece of shit, and he gets a laugh out of Tony Schiavone at that point. We're going to put a pin in that, okay? So after that, they do a quick little thing about Dante Martin, about how he just went off last week. I thought that was great.
Yeah.
Then after this, heel promo of the night. Heel promo of the night. I don't care what anybody says. I will fight you for it. Freaking Dan Lambert comes out, you know, the America Top Team guy, cuts the filthiest freaking heel promo I've heard in a minute. Like, I want him to be my manager if I was ever in wrestling.
Here's the thing. I love this to a point, and then I hate how they finished it because it was so good. Like, Dan Lambert is just this is like a throwback retro J.J. Dillon heel fuck you pro. I mean, it was, like you said, he had two former UFC guys in the ring with him. It was great.
Yeah, he had Andre Arlovsky and Junior Dos Santos, two former heavyweight champions.
There you go. I'm not a UFC.
And he's like, you know, I talked to Dana, my good friend Dana White, and he allowed him to come out here, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, AEW Chance came up. He's like, you guys, is such an AEW. It is so funny. Like, he was amazing. then he called everybody nerds who were locked in their parents' basement, which I thought was another great call, because it made me think of MJF's old promo about that.
But he even more than that, he said locked playing D&D in your mother's basement. It's important that happened because
and looking up creepy shit on the dark web.
Yes.
Cue Lance Archer's music again. So Lance Archer's gonna be the big bad who saves him, right? Wrong. Lance Archer comes.
Lance Archer, who plays D&D, by the way. That's
who
why
does play D&D.
That's why I thought that was like some foreshadowing.
Then he gets attacked, not by Junior Dos Santos or Andre Arlovsky. He gets attacked by the Men of the Year. And Scorpio Sky and All Ego Ethan Page, my wife's favorite wrestler. Right.
Which
gorgeous.
He's a good looking man.
So
I don't mind. I don't mind either one of it, but it's like, so you basically have the whole Dan Lambert thing was throwaway, basically.
Kind of, but not really, because I think it was just, you know, to set up, because him and Lance Archer already had beef. So it was, sure. It was a ploy to get Lance Archer out there to set up Lance Archer and the Men of the Year. I think that it was done tactfully. I mean, I agree. It felt kind of forced.
Yeah. It felt disconjointed a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
Like you're forcing that you know, rivalry to start, basically. I don't know. I would have rather see him like actually go through and do a thing with him beating up or the two UFC guys or something, or there's some, yeah, they're gonna be separated by 8 million people. There's a thing, and then have it naturally transition into, and then, you know, while he's going back, he goes by, and then he goes, you know, something like that. It just felt a little disconjointed to me.
It felt like Kristen Stewart trying to show emotion. It just felt really forced and uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we just don't know what we're looking at right now. That's kind of how I felt. All right, so after this, Jericho, you know, says he's going to do the Ultimate Prize. He cuts a promo on there, and he's going to whip MJF's ass, and he needs the crowd to sing a song. Put a pin in that. All right, so next, this is the other match of the night candidate for me. Just to be blatantly honest, and that is the Jurassic Express versus the Young Bucks with the rest of the Super Elite, because that's what they're calling themselves now, the Super Elite.
Right, minus Kenny Omega. Kenny Omega wasn't present.
Omega did not walk out with them at first. Put a pin in that. We like putting pins in things right now.
That's all we do.
Don Callis is out on commentary, spitting great Don Callis game. Oh, again, he's so good. Love him. Him and
Shivani.
Excuse me. Shivani. Oh, my goodness. It is just gold between those two.
They are so great together. It's fantastic.
So this match was a hell of a match. Again, typical Young Bucks match. Once they do a really good job of showcasing talent and also, of course, putting themselves over, but they still showcase everybody.
Yeah.
And it was lots of great moves. Luchasaurus, you know, he did a couple just amazing ass moves. He did a kip up into, you know, choke slams, and he does a double choke slam. And then at one point they have Matt in the ring, and they throw Nick over the top of the rope onto the apron. They fight off all of the Elite. So it's literally just them and Matt, and they do their Thoracic Express, which I think is weird that they're Jurassic and it's Thoracic Express. And that's right. where Luchasaurus flips him over himself, and then Jungle Boy catches him into the seated powerbomb. Kick ass.
It's a ridiculous move.
Yeah. One, two, no! Nick Jackson comes in and makes a save. Then there's another spot where they're trying to do a freaking superplex off of the top rope, which looks scary as fuck because of how it worked out. But
They didn't go off the top rope. He climbed from the top rope onto Luchasaurus's shoulders. And he didn't have the balance.
Yeah, his foot started slipping, so they ended up landing on their side. It looked scary.
It was near botch. It was near.
One, two, kick out. And then there was a spot where the Young Bucks hit the Michinoku driver on Jungle Boy. One, two, kick out. Like, oh my God, like, what's happening? Are we going to get new things? Then out of nowhere, they're able. This is what happened. Freaking Luchasaurus. Luchasaurus comes out. He does a big flip to just eliminate
Clear the crap on the outside.
Clear the crap on the other. And then Marco Stunt is on the rope, you know, and he's like, come on, on the entranceway. Here comes Kenny Omega and a chick magnet shirt, chick C, magnet M. Just want to throw that out there.
That is what CM stands for in CM Punk, chick magnet punk.
Yes.
Yes, I know. I caught that too. Don't worry.
Yeah. Then he smacks Marco Stunt on the back with a chair. He slides the chair in, and they're going to totally do the same thing that happened last time, where 100%. They use the chair because the elite is starting to come to their senses and distract the referee. So at that point, here comes Christian Cage. Christian Cage and Kenny Omega are getting at it. They go off into the back, and then looks like Matt is going to do a suplex onto the chair of Jungle Boy. Jungle Boy is able to reverse it, and he actually does a suplex of his own onto the chair. It looked really great.
More like slipping a brain buster.
Of a brain buster. You're right. He slides out of the way. 1-2. Matt Jackson comes in and makes a save. Nick Jackson comes in and makes a save. Then they're able to, again, that's when Luchasaurus was out. They do the BTE trigger. 1-2-3, you're winners and still champions, the Young Bucks. Sorry, I know I went through a lot of moves on, but there's a lot of things that happened at the end.
I know. We said we were going to go move by move, but some of these matches gets Jamie worked up. He's got to go to it. So,
because that's okay. I love
we're not going to do. We're not going to do every match, though. Don't worry, though. But you sometimes love pace. Jamie gets...
I love moves.
Jamie gets in when there's especially when there's a spot fest of a match. He'll go into it. So
yes,
dude, I loved when Brandon Cutler went to go do his token interference. He got up on the ring. Luchasaurus was there, and he had a fake flare. He tried to pull like a Jurassic Express with a Jurassic Park with the flare.
Yes, to Luchasaurus. I thought that was great.
It was great. It was so funny. Good. I love that. Match was good. I still like the Guevara Spears match better personally, but this was right below it.
Yeah. I mean, you can make an argument for both. That's where I'm at.
Yeah.
So after the match, Gallows is carrying Christian Cage on his shoulder into the middle of the ring. They beat the shit out of him.
They beat everybody up. Yeah.
Like they usually do. They hit, he hits the knee trigger and blah, blah, blah. Then they hit a one-winged angel. They do a three count to set up, I guess, All Out, which I still hope that is not the case because we got this match for free. But anyway. After that, you got Tony Schiavone talking with Britt Baker, Rebel, and Jamie Hayter. Sorry, Rebel. And Jamie Hayter talking about Red Velvet, and Jamie Hayter is challenging Red Velvet to a match next week. So we'll see.
Yep. Okay. You have a string of promos here. You can just go. I don't have much comment on many of these promos.
So. Yeah, and then for some odd reason, the best friends think of Big Money, Matt Hardy, blah blah blah, whatever. They're setting up Orange Cassidy versus Matt Hardy.
Sure.
Okay, Tony Schiavone introduces Paul White. Paul White is talking about how it felt great to be in the ring. Here comes
this whole QT thing took Marshall. Way too long.
Oh
this
yeah, that way was too way too this, long. This is my big thing. I hate
it. This should have been before. You don't even really get into it. The long and short of it is, Tony Khan approved. There's going to be a match at All Out between Paul White and QT Marshall. This should have been a thing done on Dark Elevation. Its continuity is there. That is the show that Paul White commentates on. And it adds validity to your... I mean, you get good viewing and viewership on your dark shows as it is on YouTube. Mm-hmm. This gives it even more. It's like, hey, you don't want to miss Dark Elevation on Monday nights, guys. They announced a match for All Out on the freaking show, you know?
Yeah.
It should have been done there. This could have been another match. You could have put a match in here in the middle of this thing. Maybe another women's match. Just saying.
Just throw that out there. So QT Marshall and Paul White, the big slow, going at it there. I bet they add the rest of the factory, and then he's going to pick two people, which one of them will be Fuego del Sol, because that needs to happen.
That'd be cool. It's probably going to be on the buy-in. That's what my guess is.
Yeah, I think this match will be on the buy-in, which will be there.
It's a buy-in match. This is a Dark Elevation thing. It should anyway.
Yeah, I know. So after this, Jay Cargill and Mark Sterling cut a promo on Kiera Hogan, talking about how Kiera Hogan's been doing really well. So they call her out by name. I feel like she's going to be All Elite. It makes a lot of sense. I love me some Kiera Hogan anyway. So they are going to fight each other on this upcoming Friday's Rampage in the United Center, which is, again, sold out.
I want to see Kiera Hogan. I know that this kind of, I don't want to like pigeonhole her, mm-hmm. but I would like to see her as part of the Jade Cargill brand.
Same. Those two together. Oh my goodness.
I mean, they could
build that into a stable.
Because Jade's getting better. If you watch her, she wrestled this week on one of the darks. I don't remember which one.
Regular dark. She's gotten so much better.
She's getting much better. But I think they even have somebody a little more skilled like Kiera Hogan, you know, which is interesting.
That's going to help her.
I mean, you know, the pitfalls, if you do sign Kiera Hogan, is trying to figure out something to do where you're not like, her girlfriend is Diamante. So you don't want to necessarily, you know, you don't want to break that kayfabe into the TV world because they're very much in different, you know, headspaces inside of the ethos. So, you know, Diamante, former LAX, is feuding with Swole and all this stuff. Kiera Hogan's definitely been part of like Black Girl Magic for her time in Impact. And that's what she's, you know, so I think that her pairing with Jade, while it's bears resemblance to what she did with Tasha Steelz, I just think it'd be great for Jade. It'd give her like an intro in, right? And I like it. I think it'd be a good thing. We don't really have women. I mean, other than like Britt's little stable of you know, enforcers, there's no real there's no women stable, there's no women nothing, right?
Yeah.
Ivelisse and Diamante aren't broken up, although Ivelisse apparently wouldn't mind coming back to AEW is the thing that I read.
I read that too. Yeah. I read that too, and that kind of surprised the hell out of me, to be honest.
Maybe she's humbled up, which is great. She's always had the talent. And anyway, but
like maybe apologize and be more professional. That's all I gotta say.
I know. But that was her and Diamante were the last like pairing of women's, really. There's nothing. So I think that's a good, I'm not saying start a tag division inside of, we still need to get this women's division right.
They're not ready for all that.
No. The women's division is going to get right. And I think this is a good step there. But I'm interested to see this. So on Rampage this Friday. Hell yeah. Let's see it.
Yeah. So speaking of Rampage, Tony Schiavone is in the back with the Elite. Schiavone reveals, nice. Man, he earned his stripes today. He was on TV a lot.
He was a lot. All over the place.
So he was with them. He let them know that the World Tag Team titles will be up for grabs at All Out in a steel cage because they are doing an AEW Tag Team Title Eliminator Tournament. Another long-ass name.
Too long.
It's fine. So they're doing a tag team tournament. That's all I'm calling it because it is an eliminator. So it's going to start on Friday, and they're just doing four matches. There are two matches. Four teams. Thank you.
Yeah.
So the very first match is going to be the Varsity Blondes, who have been getting over a lot lately.
That's not on Rampage. That's on Dynamite next week. Friday is actually going to be Jurassic Express versus Private Party.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yes. So Jurassic Express versus Private Party will be on Rampage, and the Varsity Blondes versus the Lucha Brothers.
Yes.
On
Dynamite next week. Yes. Dynamite next week. Yep. Dynamite in Milwaukee, my birth town. We know, it's got to be Lucha Brothers.
It's got to be. Like, and the Lucha Brothers are the team who can take the titles off of them.
Well, you've already, Private Party, like them, love them, whatever, but they're not going to eventually go up against, they're not going to do super heel versus super heel, right? Varsity Blondes, as you said, they're getting over more and more, but they're still a little green for a pay-per-view steel cage match, right? Jurassic yes. Express just lost about 10 minutes ago to the young, so I wish Dark Order was there in their stead, just saying, because I would love to see Stu and Uno versus the Young Bucks in a steel cage. But
Stuno,
sure, great. 1-2-1-2
evil,
but Stuno. No, it's gotta be Lucha Brothers, and that match is gonna be ridiculous, and we're gonna be there to see it, and I can't wait.
I know. We're gonna mark out so hard on that one.
Oh.
All right. So there's another one with Taz in the ring with Ricky Starks. Whatever. I'm not even getting that one. That one was terrible.
More the same Taz still going on from goddamn 6 months ago, basically. Stop it. Move. Do something different. Do something different with Cage. Do something different with, you know, Ricky Starks. Just fucking do something.
Yeah. just, I'm over it. All right. So after this, we get our fourth match of the night. That's it so far. And this is Penelope Ford versus Texas's own Thunder Rosa. Mm-hmm. This is a good match, actually.
This is a very good match, and it's a shame that it was the only women's match, and it basically was started before, covered the break, and then, you know,
yeah,
they did that, which they, this is what they did about a year and a half ago, right? So it's like, but they had a lot of setup for All Out. I get it. So it is.
So, and to your point, freaking Thunder Rosa was Texas'd out. She came out with the Texas flag, and her gear was Texas flag.
All Texas gear, yeah.
It was great. So she got a huge pop, as she should. She freaking deserves it.
I am so mad at the crowd, you know. When we're in lockdown,
got bored with it.
Here's why. No, do what?
I felt like they got bored with it.
I don't think they got bored with it. I mean, we didn't get to hear them for half the match because there was a commercial break going on.
Fair, fair, okay.
No, here's what they do with the crowd. During the lockdown, we had Thunder Rosa on Dynamite. You had like all the extras and all the spare talent.
Thunder.
Why isn't that chant happening? It needs to happen. We're going to try and get it. And that's going to be tough because Thunder Rosa is probably going to be in the Battle Royal at All Out. But
more
still,
likely.
That needs to be the chant. Any of AEW marks out there, do the AC/DC Thunder Rosa. That needs to be the chant. So
yeah. So if you're going to All Out with us, let's get it going. I don't know where you're sitting, but we'll figure it out. All right, so Thunder Rosa wins, but she actually wins in a really cool way because, honestly, Penelope Ford has been racking up some wins with her, Bridge STF Deathlock, the Muta Deathlock. But then Thunder Rosa was able to reverse it and, like, fall off to the side and do, like, a rear naked choke while she's in an STF. It looks sick as hell, and the only reason that move was even possible is because literally Penelope Ford is arguably one of the most flexible people in the world because she's a former gymnast and cheerleader type. So, like, it looked like the most painful thing I've ever seen in my life. So, yeah, there you go.
That was your women's match of the night. But it was a decent match. I just wish it didn't go through a commercial break. Wish I had a little more visible on regular TV. I'm saying.
So, the next two promos are pretty good. So, you have Miro's promo. Miro says that, you know,
he had a Brock Anderson promo before that. Arn Anderson's son's challenging Malakai Black next week because he obviously doesn't watch TV. I don't know.
I don't know. That's going to be a squash match. If it's not a squash match, I'd be completely surprised. I bet he literally is going to come to the ring, hit a black mass, and it's over. That's what I'm predicting.
Good for literally you, kid. This is how you get your ass handed to you in like 2 minutes.
Yes. So after this, you have Miro's promo. Miro, he can't forgive Fuego because Fuego didn't earn it because he took another. He can't be redeemed. But you know, his God, he loves his God in the day, and he loves his smoking hot wife in the night.
That's so good. It's so good.
But at the end, he basically calls out Eddie Kingston. So,
yes, please.
Give me some of that.
Well, everybody said, if you're going to do long-term booking for Miro, have him drop the TNT title in Queens at the Arthur Ashe Center in New York to Eddie Kingston. I hope this is the start of that, because that makes all the sense in the world. You know, Kingston finally getting a big title from a big company, deservedly so. But in New York, I hope it's the start of that. I really do. I hope so. I hope. We'll see.
Yeah. Speaking of Eddie Kingston, if you have not had a chance to watch Ethan Page's vlog yet, it's worth it because he literally takes over the vlog. And like, he's just walking around with
this past week,
Ethan Page.
That?
Yeah, he walks around with Ethan Page's phone. Hey, I'm doing a vlog. You want in on this? You want in on this? He's like, I don't get these stupid vlog things. Like, I just don't get it. Like, he's so funny. Like,
Ethan pronounces it vlog.
Yeah, vlog. It's a
vlog. Is that a Canadian thing? I don't know.
No. Like, he calls it a vlog and a vlog. And he's been actually talking with Evil Uno because Evil Uno is getting ready to start a vlog. So yeah, like all these guys are like vlogging. Yeah. It's like I only have so many
plus Eddie Kingston does some commentary. He pops in occasionally on Darkened Elevation and Dark. Him on commentary is glorious. It really is. I love me some Eddie Kingston. Maybe we get to see him at Journey Pro one day.
God, that'd make my heart happy.
All right.
All right. So next, Mox is backstage. Moxley cuts a very, very, very pointed. Very pointed promo about how everybody wants to come to AEW, and he's like he talks shit on everybody, like you know, talks about Hangman, you know, this high school bullshit, Christian Cage, you know, he should have stayed retired, like he just goes off on everybody, but he's like, you know, we need to talk about, you know, the top of the food chain around here, and if anybody wants to come here, they need to go through me, basically. So originally, people, the betting odds, Vegas actually has betting odds on this shit, which cracks me up. CM Punk's first opponent, betting wise, is Darby's
where it started. Yeah,
Darby's where it started. But now this, and the fact that Jon Moxley has a match on Rampage this Friday, makes me think it's going to be him. Because, I mean, he's going against Daniel Garcia, and he's probably just absolutely just...
He's going to murder him, yeah.
Yeah.
I've long said that I don't think, knowing what CM Punk has said for the past 7 years, I don't see him coming back in his mind and immediately feuding with somebody like Darby Allin. No offense to Darby. I love him. I think he's one of the future linchpins of the company, right? CM Punk wants a headline, though. I don't know if that's a big enough headline. Jon Moxley is a big enough headline. Kenny Omega is a big enough headline.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. But here's also another thing here, and this is Mark Stradamus is going hard now.
Okay, let's hear it.
I said Will Ospreay will show up, and God, I love that. Now am convinced Will Ospreay is going to show up and face either Darby Allin or Jon Moxley.
So you think that you think the giant swerve, for those of you not familiar, after New Japan resurgence, when Will Ospreay made his return, said he's medically cleared, blah, 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 all this stuff, he said that he's not going back to Japan, he's going to stay in strong, and then he made hard notes and references to possibly showing up on Impact and AEW, FYI. This was a show where Moxley was at, by the way, just saying.
Yes. But
among others. Amongst others. So that's a setup. So Mark Stradamus, go ahead and say what your promotes, reiterate for those who didn't hear last time.
So I said that the ultimate swerve and the ultimate FU that AEW could do, but it would be in a good way, is have Will Ospreay show up and not CM Punk, because everybody and their mother is expecting CM Punk. And the best way to swerve that, and just obviously you're going to get viewers, and yes, you might piss off a few people, but Will Ospreay is arguably the best wrestler in the world right now. Plain and simple. Right. When he's healthy. It's him and Okada. Him and Okada. Like, they're the best. Like, I don't care. I'll take the Pepsi Challenge with any of you Roman Reigns lovers. He's amazing right now, but he's got a small skill set.
Omega's up there with him too.
Omega's amazing. Yeah, Omega, but Will Ospreay right now, I don't, because he's young and he's in his prime. And my goodness. So I think the ultimate swerve is it's going to be Will Ospreay showing up on Rampage and not CM Punk. Or to your point,
yeah, I compounded it.
Yeah, both of them showing up, like one right after the other.
Like I compounded it, said that. Well, originally I said, how about we do that? He does his match at All Out, and during All Out, that's when CM Punk debuts. But then I was like, no. How about this? It's Ospreay. It's going to be a squash match. Ospreay comes out. They have a face-to-face. And maybe he even, surprise attacks him, and he's leaving. That's when you hear In Living Color kicks on. And out comes CM Punk. And that's your show.
Yes.
That'd be, I think, I like that idea the most. I read a thing today, too, that said that Daniel Bryan really, 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 really wants a match against Will Ospreay.
And I really, 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 really want to see it.
Yep. I think that to me, now here's, and the only other thing I'll say on this before we talk about the main event was, everybody knows who CM Punk is. Even if you're a moderate wrestling fan, you pretty much have an idea about this guy, right? You've seen him. If I was to put Will Ospreay on your TV, that's not the same thing. Everyone's like, well, that's a good looking guy. They don't.
Yeah.
He's not face recognizable in America.
He's recognizable in every other country.
I know. In England, he's damn near a god. He can walk. Well, excuse me. In Japan, he's damn near a god. In England, pretty much the same. You know. Yes, but America is America promotions and it's America things, right? America, America, America. So that's the only other thing. I'm not saying yes or no. Just throw that out there. Let it percolate. We'll see what happens on Friday. It's going to be interesting, no matter what.
So folks, I'm going to ask you now that Mark Stradamus is hit. What do you think? Do you think it's definitely going to be CM Punk? Or do you think it's going to be Will Ospreay? Do you think it's going to be somebody completely different? Maybe it's going to be Bryan Danielson.
That would be a swerve right there.
There is on high authority that somebody's going to show up Friday. Who do you think it is and why? If you can give me a why, that'd be awesome. Put it in the comments below if you're on YouTube. Tweet at us at Total Spot Fest. Let us know who you think. I really want to hear from you guys on what you think, because this is something.
I mean, that something is going to happen. You don't
got to be not what everybody expects, and that's what I'm hoping.
I think it might be, and I honestly am much more into the compound nature of this because, sorry, is not nothing happening. You don't get the United Center, which let's be completely honest here. As much as we love AEW, United Center is definitely them punching out of their weight class. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And they sold the MF-er out
for arena size. You know, that one is, you know, they're not packing, you know, the 20,000 seat arenas, you know, they're like tonight's show, which had an electric feel in it. I will say that about 6,000 people, give or take, were there, you know, and it's a great size. I think it's the perfect size to experience a wrestling show personally on a weekly show. But so you don't get the United Center with 15,000 people in attendance, you know, and all this buildup and hype. You don't have all that to not have something big happen. So it's got to be something. What is it? Let us know. Give us a comment. Give us a tweet. We want to hear it.
Yes.
Plus reasonings.
Yes. I need to know what you guys think.
Right. We're not singing. No
Mark Antony.
No Mark Antony. Let's do the main event. Then I got an impossible game I want to play with you too.
Okay. All right. So the fifth labor of Jericho. This is Chris Jericho coming out to no music, and he is banned from using the Judas Effect. Yes. So he comes out, and the entire crowd sings Judas. And the great thing is people also had signs with the lyrics for the people who didn't know, and they showed like three or four people looking at their phone because they don't know the lyrics.
Three or four. They showed a lot of people looking at their phone. There was actually people who were posting on Twitter and stuff like this, you know? There was a social media coordination amongst those marks that were in attendance, and I love every second of it.
Yeah, so well played, Marks. I'm with you. One love. All right, so then you have Maxwell Jacob Fried, my jerk-off friend, whatever you want to call him, coming out with his ring solo.
Yeah.
I want to call this out. Solo. And he was solo the entire time.
I mean, to me, this was an Adam Cole move. Because Adam Cole in Undisputed Era, yeah, see, they had some shenanigans a lot of times. But for his biggest matches, about Gargano, you're talking against Andrade, his biggest matches, it was him by himself. And MJF, same thing. I love it. Good.
So this match had tons.
Oh, a lot of stuff.
You know, Chris immediately went for the Walls of Jericho. I wish it would have been a lion tamer, because he is the creator of the lion tamer, at least in my opinion. I know he wasn't the creator, but he is the one who mastered it for me. This match had everything. There was a spot where Chris actually had MJF on the ropes a little bit. He was dazed and he's getting ready to go for the Judas Effect. He's like, oh shit, I gotta stop and not do it. And he doesn't. At that point, MJF turns the tide. He rips off the elbow guard.
Oh, he ripped the guard off early. That you're talking. Yeah. You're getting spots sorry. Mixed up. That was near sorry. The end.
That was near yeah. the end. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so the juice effect attempt was near the end. So sorry.
So at one point, MJF rips off the elbow guard, and he is just working the elbow of Chris Jericho, just working the shit out of it.
Two thirds of the match.
It was a really good match. There's lots of counters. There was a lion salt in there. There was lots of good.
You stuff. Had a near lion fall after the lion salt, or lion oh, tamer yeah. after the lion.
It was close. Like he was right there. I'm like, just drop,
and then
like,
turned it over.
Stepped over. I'm like, damn it.
I don't think. Do you think he can do it? I mean, I hate to say it like sound like this, but he is in his 50s now. And it does require some twisting to get there. So
he did to Cody.
He did do it. Yes, he did do it to Cody. You're
granted,
right.
That was 2 years ago, but he did it to Cody.
Yeah.
So at this point, you know, MJF grabs his ring. He gets busted with his ring. Ref Aubrey takes it. Chris Jericho grabs his bat, smacks MJF in the stomach, and this is where he goes for the Judas.
This is where he attempts the Judas effect.
He stops. Max hits him with one of his own, though. The MJF
I know
legit hits the Judas effect, which I thought was kick ass. Total heel move. And I'm you know me, I'm here for it. So at that point, he doesn't go for the cover. He goes right for the Salt of the Earth armbar.
Right.
He goes right for it. Chris is like trying to escape, and then he just moves him into the middle of the ring. He readjusts in the middle of the ring, just keeps cranking it. Chris Jericho, ladies and gentlemen, taps out, and your winner of the fifth
while too
labor is MJF. I cannot believe that's how they ended it. So it almost felt like somebody tweeted this, and I totally agree with it, and I want to get your thoughts on this. It kind of felt like the swan song for him, for Jericho a little bit.
It had the vibe, not I don't want to say a retirement match, but it had the vibe of a swan song sort of thing. Yes. Put into consideration, Jericho has never beaten MJF. He's 0-3 against MJF. And that's crazy in and of itself, but I don't know. I mean, the match was very good. It was well paced. That both of them, they played wonderfully against each other. There's a spot there where MJF grabbed the camera and he did the Jericho thing. He was the cameraman. Yeah. He's flipping off the whole crowd, and that was awesome. And then he turns around and there's Jericho standing like, oh shit, right? You know. So
and he punches he punches
right into the lens. Great, yeah. So I mean, it felt that way. Yes, I think. I mean, we've long suspected Inner Circle doing separate things, right? Mm-hmm. Proud and Powerful have been doing that. They're feuding with FTR, right, in their own manner. Jake Hager hasn't really been seeing a lot. He's probably training for his next MMA fight, so what my guess is.
You know,
Sammy is becoming a star on his own right, 1,000%. Mm-hmm. Eddie Guerrero, insert young star here. Sammy Guevara is by far, you know, he's one of those pillars we always talk about for the future. But MJF is too. And this is the third time Jericho's put him over. And it felt like a swan song.
It really did. I know that Fozzie is supposed to go on the road here shortly, and that might be what's going on. And he's just kind of
takes time off. Doing could that. Be.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. And I don't want to speculate on that, but it definitely feels like he's going to be away for a hot minute. So then who's the next feud with MJF? Who's the next setup?
I think a lot of that depends on who's going to be champion after All Out.
But do you think they're going to try to set something up for him in the next 2 weeks? To have a match at All Out.
I think in the next 2 weeks, you'll see not a ton of MJF, probably. You'll see him maybe in promos gloating about his victories and stuff. Yeah. And then after All Out, I could see that's where he kind of comes in full. Because remember, he's had what? One singles loss in his entire career in AEW?
Yeah.
He should be on the top of the rankings. I could see him. Here's the truth of the matter. Here's a good direction to go since you have the I mean, you got at some point, you can't have the people that are in the inner circle and the people that are in the pinnacle feuding with each other perpetuity, right? You got to have some variance there. I think after All Out, you break off the, you're done with those for the time being. MJF got a sight set on the title. But who also has their sight set on the title is one Hangman Adam Page. There's your feud. Dark Order is there to back up Adam eventually, because you'll have the Pinnacle backing up him. It gives them all a new kind of reset. That's my guess.
You know what I'd like to see?
What would you like to see? Yes.
MJF, CM Punk.
Sure. I mean, the promos on that would be mind bending.
It would just be face melting greatness. That's why I'm like, I just want the promos. I don't even want them to fight.
That's half the fun of this whole Jericho feud was the promo. Let's be honest, it's been fantastic. All right, what do you think of the show overall?
So there was two amazing matches, a solid match, and some good promos, some good setup. There was a couple duds, but I'm not gonna hold those completely against it. I'm gonna give it a spot fest.
I will give it just barely a spot fest because I told you, it felt like two shows. It felt like the first half and then the last match, and then you had the middle bit. And unfortunately, in the middle of that, the one women's match, which was actually a pretty damn good match, got stuck in the middle of promo. I know they're setting up stuff. I know you got CM Punk and Rampage this Friday. You have All Out coming up. I get it. Mm-hmm. But I think they shifted like all the good wrestling to the front. And then they did a bunch of promos, and they tried to interweave stuff, but it didn't. It felt like two different shows. So because of that, I'd give it a spot fest. Just barely a spot fest for me.
Yeah. Barely. No, I'm right there with you. Because those two really good matches and a solid ending match, that's what pushed it. Because if you had one solid match and one great match, it would have been a squash. Like, that's where I was.
Sure.
So Friday's Rampage. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the official announced card. We have Jade Cargill with Mark Sterling, of course, versus Kira Hogan. We have Private Party with Matt Hardy going against Jurassic Express in the AEW World Tag Team Eliminator Tournament.
Yep.
Then we have Jon Moxley with Eddie Kingston versus Daniel Garcia with 2.0. So
that's confirmed to be the main event. That's confirmed to be the main event. So. Yep. Plus surprises.
See, that's why right there, it is, the betting is probably changed to Moxley right now.
If I was a betting man, which I'm not, I would put money on Moxley. I know you are.
I'm playing Poker Friday. I'm actually gonna have to watch it on my phone. I've already said like I'm gonna have it on my phone.
I'm the guy who goes to the casino. I'll take $60 with me, and if I go above that $60 in winnings, I cash out and I go to the bar. I'm done. Nice. I'm like, up is up. I'm out. See ya. You know, that's me. So anyway,
nice.
Well, let us know what you guys think. And you said we want to know what you just thought on. You know, not just you know. But what do you think the surprise is? Are you convinced it's going to be CM Punk, which probably is? Is it going to be a double? Is Ospreay going to be involved? Is they going to have a triple? Are they going to pull out that? Are they going to pull out six people? Who? I mean, I don't even know who. You know, but, you know, Bull Club Invasion. Who knows? I mean, what the fuck could it be? Let us know. Give us a comment. Give us a tweet.
Don't tempt me.
I know. I just tickled it there real fast. So all right, let's do this real quick. Okay, so. Cage match, which is the take out the War Games match or Blood and Guts, right? This will be the third cage match that I can remember in AEW history. Is that right? Maybe fourth.
I can only think of Wardlow versus Cody.
Wasn't there another cage match?
Uh-uh.
So Blood and Guts was the second cage match.
Yeah.
Well, even if there was another one that we can't think of, so we think this will either be the second full or the third full cage match in AEW.
This is the second coin cage match because Blood and Guts had the top on it.
I believe that's correct, but something in my soul is telling me there might be another one we're missing. I don't know, but
I don't think so.
If we're wrong, somebody tell us. But we're pretty sure it's the second one. So anyway, we're gonna get to see that at All Out, and so is anybody else who's going to be there at All Out. Everyone's gonna get to see it. Everyone's gonna watch it. Cerro Miedo, yes, we definitely agree there. Now, I love me a cage match. I loved them back when it was the old big gapped blue steel cage, you know?
Because those guys don't know how to climb fences.
I know. Exactly. And part of my heart broke when they moved to Chainlink. I was like, aw. But the cage match is just the start, because cage match then spawned Hell in a Cell. And the Elimination Chamber, Six Sides of Steel, Lethal Lockdown, which is a play on of War Games, which is, you know, another one, and Blood and Guts, and on and on and on. And that just was, you know, because Steel, that was like the quintessential, right? You'd have match, and then Steel Cage match, like, oh my God. And then, of course, extreme stuff happened in the 90s, you know, tables, ladders, chairs, all sorts of crazy stuff that started going on, this and that. So here's the impossible game I want to play with you. We're not going to do Feud Faction or Fired. We're not going to do the Island game.
Okay.
We're going to do Lover or Leaver, but with matches. So love it or lose it. So it's going to be one of these stipulation matches. So any sort of, like, you know, but a stipulation match like this. So
gimmicks,
that's the word I'm looking for. Thank you. I couldn't think of it. So it's going to be gimmick matches. So there's one gimmick match where you will get to see at every pay-per-view for the rest of your life, right? This is your favorite. This is the one, right? Okay. And then you have to have one, and you have to put it in there that gets Thanos from existence. I like doing the Thanos bit. Which means every iteration, every match has happened for that particular gimmick, never happened.
Okay.
So it has repercussions depending on which matches it is if you wipe it out. So if you say, I want to wipe out every Hell in the Cell, well, that takes away a lot of bad, but a lot of good, you know. So anyway, that you get to see at every pay-per-view for the rest of your life, and one that is Thanos'd out of existence. Love it, leave it.
Just two, right?
So it's two. So it's one that's the one that's there every time.
Okay.
I love it. And then you have one that's a leave it, which is the one that gets Thanos out of existence.
Okay.
Start with the love it.
Ladder match.
Dude, you're doing a straight ladder match.
Straight ladder match, not TLC. Which
I know it could be two or 10 or 20 people, but
exactly.
not TLC, a ladder match.
Ladder match. Love me a ladder match.
Okay.
A homer for it.
I mean, I was going to say ladder match.
It's my favorite, man. Who's my favorite wrestler?
Shawn Michaels, the man who basically invented or brought mainstream ladder. If he didn't invent, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
They're in the first credited ladder match, basically, of all time.
Yeah, insane, right? Like, that's my number one.
I mean, it's hard to beat just the ladder match. Tables, ladders, and chairs is great because it's, I mean, but at the end of the day, a lot of these extreme matches, there's no rules anywhere. There's no disqualification. So it doesn't matter what the match is. It has anything to go along with it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take it up and do a variation thereof. Because I've waxed poetically about this style of match. And because it's very...
And there you go.
You know exactly where I'm going. Because it's very... program specific. That's not the right words I'm looking for. It's very
brand specific.
Brand specific.
Promotion specific.
JJ can't talk today if you don't remember from the beginning of the show. JJ, I don't know why. It is Ultimate X. Yes. I would say, because that's ladder match taken up a notch, flippy spinning shit left and right. And it is, I mean, some of my favorite matches when I was getting into TNA, seeing AJ Styles and Frankie Kazarian and, you know, Christopher Daniels, Samoa Joe, Petey Williams, Chris Sabin, Suicide.
Oh, so good. Yeah, Suicide.
I mean, which, side note, Suicide was in last week's Battle Royal on Impact. I don't know who plays Suicide now, but it was not some random guy, number six.
And
it's not the same Suicide that I remember. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, yeah.
So that is the love it. Those are the ones that we will see on our fantasy book pay-per-views every month, quarter, whenever we have them.
Okay.
Ultimate X for JJ, ladder match for Jamie. What's one that never existed for you?
There's a ton of bad ones. There are a ton of bad ones.
There's a lot of bad gimmicks out there.
I mean,
one you get to erase. You get to clean up one for all eternity. Which one is that?
I mean, there's so many bad ones. Like Braun Paney match. God, I'd be okay if that thing never existed. But I don't think it'll ever come back anyway.
Yeah. This is not post Me Too. I don't think you're going to see a Braun Paney match. I know you love bull rope matches.
Oh God, paddle on a pole match. Like Jesus, battle there's so many bad ones. All right, so I will go with a more mainstream one that we've seen a few more times. The Buried Alive matches. I hate them.
Now, does that include... Okay, so Buried Alive. You're talking about literally in dirt, or are you talking about...
Not talking casket match.
Okay, because I'm like, alive. That could... Okay.
Buried Alive. That's the one where you have to get thrown...
Thrown into an open grave and buried alive. Right.
Yes. Those are the Undertaker matches. And like
Well, Undertaker being 99.99% retired. I don't consider him fully retired as long as they're still doing Saudi Arabia shows. Because I know Vince is going to knock on that door. I know he will, which is stupid.
You want $30 million?
Yeah, which I mean, I'm not going to say no to that if I was him. But, you know, in part, just let the man be. Let him enjoy his time with his wife. Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's interesting because that's... Okay, I thought you'd take a bigger swing than that. No offense, but, you know, because it's like that. You don't see them too often, but... They definitely do poke their ugly head every now and then, especially when you're talking about WWE. So, Buried Alive was never a thing. It's gone. Never happened.
And I'm better for it.
All right. So, you know, I was going to go with like bull rope or stuff, but then it's like, I mean, that's still pretty good, but...
That's fodder. Like, it's the easy stuff, you know? Like
it is. And the thing is, that there are some good bull rope matches. Mm-hmm. Some of the old school ones, you know? That's the thing. When you're doing, like, a longer outstanding gimmick, you lose some of the history behind that. You know, if you're like, well, I just want to get rid of the steel cage match. And it's like, you're getting rid of some, like, classic-ass matches if you do that.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
I don't want to necessarily take the easy, you know, the low-hanging fruit, if you would. What I would remove, and you tell me if this, to me, this is a gimmick match. You let me know. But okay. The blank or you're fired match, which means that if the person loses, they lose their job. I'm over those. I think that's
a gimmick. That's a gimmick match.
Okay. So I would, because I just... I think it's lazy writing, and I just don't like it. And half the time, it doesn't fucking matter anyway, right?
Yeah, because they're back in 6 months after they heal up from injury.
See Sonya Deville, okay?
Yeah,
and countless examples. I mean, yes, and yes, that does mean that the Feast or Fired match from TNA is included in that, unfortunately. Because that was actually a decent take on it. There's four cases in the corner, and you had a bunch of people there, like eight people were in the match, right? Everybody's going for a case. In one case was a tag championship title shot, in another case was a X division, in another case was a world title shot, and the fourth one is a fired. You're a pink slip. And it could be any... So, unfortunately, that one was the best variation, I would say, thereof. But no, the blank or you're fired match is gone, out of existence.
Yeah.
So if
you want me to take a bigger swing, I know one that
Give me one that you don't really care for.
Okay, cinematic.
Really.
They're okay. You know, Final Deletion was the best, and you can't get any better than that. And ever since then, I feel like they've just fallen. Other than the Sting Darby Allin one, that was actually pretty decent. Well, but for the most part, I just should lose them.
Stadium Stampede? Oh, really? Okay, I love Stadium Stampede.
I do too, but it's one of those things like
that counts. That'd be gone. So if
it's cinematic, you know,
that's a bigger swing. And if you were to do that. I mean, you would wipe out Final Deletion, all the deletions, and everything else.
Yeah. But then I also wipe out the Bray Wyatt and Braun Strowman.
You also wipe out most of the crap, and you also wipe out the Firefly Funhouse match.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, that's the thing. Like, I could go that big.
Well, you know, could. And my thing is, like, one of the ones that I would actually, I would want to get rid of, except for its history, would be the Hell in the Cell. Because now I know that includes, you know, mankind, Mick Foley almost dying. Yeah. Which is unfortunate, because that match was just unbelievable. And he got back in, and then he got chokeslammed from 20 feet up and almost died again. And then it's just, you know. But for the most part, the Hell in the Cell match, it's completely unnecessary in the ethos.
Yeah, no, I agree.
It's a bigger cage match.
Ooh. One, okay, now you're getting me going, because like one I would like to see more often nowadays that I love, and it's arguably because it's my favorite move, but I would love to see a lot more submission matches. I used to love those when I was younger, like Chris Benoit and Eddie Guerrero were in a submission match, or Dean Malenko, and that, there it is, Dean Malenko, Chris Jericho had a submission match. Like, WCW had them all over the place.
They
WWE
did.
Only had them a couple times, but man, they are so damn good, because there's nothing better to me, like, even watching UFC and shit like that, seeing you are physically making somebody say, I can't do this anymore, I tap out.
No,
it's
I
so much
it.
Better
I
knocking
it.
Out somebody.
I get it. I don't think you see them, though, anymore, because it doesn't fit our short attention span culture as well. Because it's a technical match. So, A, you're not going to see in WWE, period, right, for that matter. Because it requires wrestling skills. That's such a dig. I don't know. Okay, but
they
you're
got
right.
the skills. They're just not allowed to use them. They have to do it the WWE way.
I mean, I think, yeah, we haven't really seen a... I don't remember the last time there was a submission match that I remember call seeing. It's been a long time.
Yeah, I don't remember.
All right, well, that was my take on it. So I figured let's do some gimmick stuff here. So we could go on about this. There's a shit ton of great gimmicks, and there's a lot of terrible gimmicks out there. I mean, some gimmicks have just been horrendous. Let's be honest. Some of these gimmick matches are just bad. Like the, how about the, and I'm making broad strokes here, but the, you know, you have to, your opponent gets embarrassed by wearing some sort of weird costume after the match is over match.
Oh, those are terrible.
Like, yeah.
There's so many bad ones. First blood matches, burned alive.
Blank on a pole.
Blank on a pole, period.
Like, anything is... on a pole. It's like, oh, come on, really? And if you get to it, this person gets to use... Well, what's the... come on. Just flip a coin and just get it over with, you know? Whatever. So, you guys let us know. You want to play the game? Give us a comment. Give us a shout. What is your favorite gimmick match? The match you would have at every pay-per-view you fantasy book for the rest of your life. What gimmick match, this is what I really want to hear, would you eliminate from existence? Let's hear that. So... give us a comment, give us a tweet. We will be back on Tuesday. So Tuesday we'll be back to go over what the hell happens at Rampage this Friday. We've also got action-packed, even more so, weekend of wrestling. So Friday night is Impact's Emergence pay-per-view, mini pay-per-view, as I'm calling it, along with Rampage. Then you've got SummerSlam on Saturday, TakeOver on Sunday. We are definitely doing our picks for TakeOver and for SummerSlam. We have belts that we defend. Even if we don't watch the product anymore, we still got to defend these damn belts. So,
And there's a vacant one since Bruce Prichard fired Youngboy.
He says Youngboy go bye-bye. And we cannot let Megan the Tyrant hold all the gold. We cannot. So I'm going to be doing everything in my damn power to make sure that doesn't happen. So check in with us on Tuesday. We'll give you the results of both of our pay-per-view updates and see where we're at, who has the gold. Do me and Jimmy finally get a little icon in that blank space under our name? That's what it's there for, to put our championships in this little like game that we play. Mm-hmm. But Jamie's daughter freaking has all the belts. So yep.
I mean, she took my last one clean. She took yours clean. Kinda.
I had mine for a week, and it was still being contested. But yeah. Out of default, I assumed it, and then she snatched it from me on secondary tiebreaker.
So I'm thinking for the tiebreaker this time. I think this would be fun. Yes, but no. So as we know, the two out of three falls, they're going to go all three falls. Like, we already know this. Like, right. This is going to happen. I think we should do total time between all three matches.
Ooh.
And not just the final one.
So in between first bell and third bell.
Yeah, like we stop the clock after the first fall.
Oh my God, that's going to be...
Because they go right into it, right? Because they go right into the next
They go
ball.
Right, they more or less, it. More or less. Yeah. That's what it'd be even better. So you do it from the time the first bell rings and then the last bell, third bell, rings.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll probably do that. And we'll have a tiebreaker for SummerSlam as well. So check in with us on Tuesday. We'll give you results of that. We're also going to break down everything that happens this Friday on Rampage. Talk about what happened. Make mention of Emergence for Impact. And then if you do want tickets, like I said, we're gonna give it through the weekend here. So if you want to get tickets, list price. We're not jacking with the price or anything. So just same old price, $25 a piece. We got two tickets. Weekend of Journeys. It's Saturday the 28th at 1 p.m. over at Lemonade Park in Kansas City, over by Kemper Arena. Give us a DM on Twitter at Total Spot Fest. Let us know you're interested. If we don't hear anything by Monday evening, we're going to reach out to Walter and DJ, and we'll figure something else out. But yep. Please let us know. We want somebody who wants to be there. So give us a shout. Let us know. We got your tickets.
Yep.
That's what we got. We will see you next week. Jamie, take us home.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. If you're not down with Total Spot Fest, I got 5 words for you. Got 2 tickets to paradise.
Well, pack your bags, folks. It'll be all right. We'll see you next time, guys.
Peace.